Today is day four of the 12 days of Christmas. So the 12 days of Christmas began on Christmas Day, and they take us through to January the 6th, which is the traditional day for celebrating our wedding anniversary. And it's also the arrival of the wise men, when they brought their gifts to the Christ child. So we are in the 12 days of Christmas. Let's recollect the story about the 12 days of Christmas, the song, again. So this is its history. From 1558 through to 1829, Roman Catholics in England were not allowed to practice their faith openly, and so they developed this song, the 12 days of Christmas, as code for their faith, for singing the faith, the story of the faith. The song could be then sung quite openly in public places. No one would know what they were actually doing. People thought it was just a fun song, but actually it was code for many elements of the scripture. So I'm going to start the code off and see if you can remember what the different elements are. Okay, so comprehension test. The partridge in a pear tree was the symbol for Jesus Christ. The two turtle doves, what are they symbolic for, do you think? Remember? Yeah, the two testaments, Old and New Testament. The three French hens. Well, I suppose you could go Trinity, but it was actually for someone else, had it for faith, hope and love. Okay. The four calling birds, yeah, the Gospels. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. The five gold rings, five. Yeah, the Torah, the Pentateuch, the first five books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. Six geese are laying. Six. I'm not going home until we get this right. Six. 6 days of creation. Okay. Yep. Seven swans are swimming. Seven. Anyone? It's for the sevenfold gifts of the Spirit. Okay, so prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and compassion. Eight maids are milking. Eight. We've got to get to the fruit. Eight. Anyone? The what? Well, that's lateral thinking, I suppose. Let's try the eight Beatitudes, which are the blessed are statements. Blessed are. What, remember the blessed are? What do you remember? Blessed are the meek, the poor in spirit, the... Yep, there they are. See how you went. Poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Nine, Mara? Well done, you were so quick. The nine fruit of the Spirit, which are? Love. You don't know. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Did I hear good? Who had them? Well done. Yeah, well, it's complimentary. He named them. You had the content. Yep. Ten commandments. Yep. You shall have no other gods. Do not make an idol. Do not take God's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not covet. 11 pipers piping. 11. 11. What does that make you think of? Is someone getting close? You getting close? The 11 faithful disciples, and their names are... Now let's test you. Come on. The names of the disciples are... Well, let's see how you go. Simon Peter, Andrew, his brother, James and John, they were the sons of thunder, the brothers, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and the other Judas, son of James. They're 11 faithful disciples. 12 drummers drumming, 12. Oh, well done. Jesus. The 12 points of belief in the Apostles' Creed. Okay. So it's at one level, it's a fun song, but it's much deeper than that. It contains all, it was code for all these elements of the faith, the biblical story. So when they're singing it, they're ticking off in their mind, they're reminding themselves of all of these things. And so, of course, then they'll become hooks that you hang so much on. All the stories you can hang on the hooks as you sing the song. So we are now in these days. We are also in the days when we move into deeper insight about the baby born in Bethlehem. We had three babies born into our family this year, three grandsons. And as soon as we heard the news of each birth, we dropped everything and set off. Right? Why? Because we wanted to greet this new baby and we wanted to bond with the baby and to wonder. So that became priority. Today I want to talk about those who came to the baby and those who came quickly and those who a little bit later met the baby. People who wondered and people who bonded with him. So if I could summarise today's message in one sentence, it would be, bond with this baby whose birth you celebrate on Thursday. Bond with him. So the 12 days of Christmas await the wise, await those who come to bond with the baby. First of all, the ones who came from a far country. What must be the backstory there? What did they know? And why the gifts? Why did they bring the gold and the frankincense in particular? What did they know? Did they know this scripture? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephath, and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. Did they know that scripture, and is that why they bought the incense and the gold? As the praise of the Lord. Quite probably. We certainly think they knew this scripture. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Star, scepter, king. A ruler will come out of Jacob. Jacob, the reference there to the land of Israel. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. So we think that from that text that they saw a star in the heavens and it caused them to set off. So maybe it was a combination of those two scriptures that they knew that caused them to set off to journey to the land of Israel and to bring the gifts that they did. So perhaps they came in response to the parts of the scripture that they knew and they were not disappointed. Now there are two other key people in the what happened next part of the story who were also wise. But these two people you did not sing about in the Christmas carols. You have no Christmas cards with their images on. And yet they are very significant. They are wise ones. Let's listen to their story. Des will read it to us. So this is the next part of the story.
Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. Jesus presented in the temple. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, where the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. May God bless the reading of his word.
So after the birth, Mary and Joseph must have found lodging in or around Bethlehem. Perhaps they had relatives there. Then 40 days after the birth, they would have wrapped the baby in a travelling shawl, and then they set off on their journey 8 kilometres from Bethlehem up to Jerusalem. Now, the law of Moses held that on the 40th day after the birth of a son, the mother had to go through certain rites of purification and offer sacrifices. Until that happened, she wasn't permitted to go into the synagogue for worship. If it was a baby girl, she had to wait till the 80th day. Why the difference, I do not know. Now, here's a curious aside. Initially, the law of Moses, so way back, centuries before, initially, the law of Moses held it that if the firstborn child was a boy, then he would be taken to the synagogue or the temple to be dedicated to God. And then when he turned 12 years of age, he was taken to the synagogue to become a priest. Okay. Later on, when you had the development of what each family group, the 12 tribes, became, the Levites became the priestly tribe, the parents would still have to take the baby boy to the temple to be recognised that this child belonged to God, but then they would pay 5 shekels and buy him back, as it were. So, when Mary and Joseph take the baby into the temple, they don't pay 5 shekels. They don't buy him back. That would mean, according to the ancient law, that when he was 12 years of age, he would be given over completely to God. What's the only story we have of the boy Jesus, and at what age did it occur? 12. Curious. So, he's 12 years old, Mary and Joseph, they probably made the annual pilgrimage this time back to Jerusalem to the temple there. Remember in all the market scene, the crowd, they're leaving and they don't do a head count, and then they're some way away and it's realised the boy's not with them, and in their panic they retrace their steps and they find their 12-year-old son in the temple courts teaching, given over completely to God, fulfilling the ancient practice, as it were. Just an intriguing aside. Back to the story when he was a baby. So after the 40th day after the birth, they would go up, they went to the temple, and there they sacrificed a pair of doves. Now, perhaps that's where the 12 Days of Christmas song gets the turtle doves from, the two turtle doves, the symbol. The normal practice was to sacrifice a lamb. However, an exception was made if you were very, very poor and couldn't afford to buy a lamb to sacrifice, and you could buy two doves instead for sacrifice. Implication, Joseph and Mary must have been very poor. There in the temple were two elderly people, Simeon and Anna. Simeon observed this young couple coming with baby in arms and the sacrifice of two doves, so immediately he knew this is a very poor couple. But he does not dismiss them because they are poor. He sees deeply. He sees that in their arms they do in fact carry a lamb. The Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. Get the symbolism of it. They cannot afford to buy a lamb from the pen, but they're carrying in their arms the one who will be called the Lamb of God. Takes away the sin of the world. The symbolism is amazing. This is Rembrandt's painting of Simeon holding the baby. I can't quite remember Rembrandt's self-portrait, but do you think he's painted himself as Simeon? Putting himself in the picture, himself holding the Christ? Anyway. So through the insight of the wise men, we gain the knowledge that this baby will be the long-awaited Messiah. Through the eyes of Simeon first and then Anna, we get a fuller picture of what his life will be about. Simeon offered a prayer to God and then spoke out over the child. And in his prayer, he gave thanks to God for allowing him to see the moment when God's glory would be revealed through this child. So he sees the glory of God will be revealed through this child. It's very telling. You think about it. Everyone else in the temple that day just saw a poverty-stricken family who couldn't afford a lamb, probably sniggered about them, look at them, how poor they must be, get a real job sort of comments. And all they see is this poor couple with a baby and two doves. And Simeon sees the glory of God is going to be revealed here. Nothing changes, does it? The nation celebrates Christmas Day. Some see the glory of God revealed. Others just see a family. Simeon indeed saw the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world. So Simeon looks further, ponders deeply, wonders and bonds. As I spoke a moment ago about how we had three children born into our family this year, when we held each baby for the first time, we have no idea what the personality will be. We have no idea what the future will be. We have no idea what the potential will be. We have no idea what each child will fulfill. But Simeon knew. He had every idea. He knew what this baby that he held would be, would achieve, would fulfill, would bring to pass. Mary and Joseph must have stood there agog at what Simeon was saying. And then when he said to the mother, to Mary, and a sword will pierce your soul. And a sword will pierce your soul. What could that mean? He was announcing prophetically that the shadow of the cross was already over this child. There was another stranger in the temple area that day, the elderly Anna. In those days, it is said that the average life expectancy was 29 years of age. She was 84. She had lived her years surrounded by tragedy. Indeed, she'd been married for 7 years and her husband had died. So she would have been widowed, what, maybe 50, 60 years? She had known great upheaval in the land. How would she live? In despair, in pity? No. She lived close to the heart of God, daily in worship, in prayer, in fasting. And because of that, she saw the wonder of God revealed in this child also. She saw hope. She saw hope when she looked upon the baby. So, the 12 days of Christmas are given to us that we might journey to the manger to ponder, to wonder, and to bond. In these days playing out now out at Christmas, bond with the newborn Christ. Let's pray. Lord, today as we read this incredibly rich story, but it's a little known Christmas story, sort of the one that we don't get to. We get to the manger, all right, we get to the shepherds, we get to the wise men, but this next one about the ones who held the baby and spoke out prophetically over him. Quite amazing, really. Their insight, their words, their depth of knowledge, their understanding, what they saw, what they were given to see by the Spirit. And they bonded with him. Lord, may it be that as we now live out of these, the 12 days, that we also will bond further, deeper, stronger with the Christ child. And so we pray in the name of Christ. Amen.